Remember, if you see news in the Marion area, send us an email, scott@wwgh1071.com.
Adam left.
Love the cool things we can do, we can do, we can do. We love the cool things we can do on our computer.
When you need to talk technology, no one gets you more gigs in your hard drive than Adam. It's time for Adam the Computer Guy with Adam Lepp.
Yes, Adam Lepp, that's my name, and talking today's top technology topics live on the radio. That's my game. Good morning. Thank you so much for listening. We really, really appreciate it, your ears and your insight as a listener and participant to the Adam the Computer Guy radio show is certainly cool with a capital K. Of course, we spell cool the cyber way, which is K-E-W-L. If you're a new listener to the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, welcome aboard. Very much appreciated. If you're a veteran listener, you more than likely are aware that we talk topics that affect technology. Of course, social media, social networking, always a big thing in 2017 and beyond. We discuss how technology and social media, email, internet, servers and all that good stuff has an effect on politics and sports and other things that we interact with and follow day by day. Of course, I invite you to call me at the studio. I am live here at our studio in the Marion Center Mall. The telephone number is 740-383-9944. Or, of course, you can send me an email. I'd love to communicate with you. And one thing I like to bring up is that we're a lot like Hillary. And how are we like Hillary? We have our own private email server. How about that? Yes, we certainly do. So eat your heart out, former presidential candidates. We have a private email server also, and best of all, I'm the person who maintains it, monitors it, and sets up the email and all that good stuff. So you know it's got to work pretty well, because I've been in technology professionally almost 22 years, and I've been around computers since the mid-70s. Yes, gasp, I'm really that old. So anyway, you can email me on our private email server anytime, and I love to get your communications. The email address is adam@wwgh1071.com. One thing about this show is we usually, especially on Thursday, we broadcast it live on Facebook video. And Stephen, from the northwest side of Columbus, thank you so much for lending an ear. It's much appreciated. We broadcast the show live on Facebook video, like Stephen and anybody else watching can see, sitting here in my hoodie in the studio. It's not quite as cold here as it usually is. It's 59 degrees Fahrenheit, 15 degrees Celsius, so it is more hoodie weather, since it looks like spring has sprung, or at least for the time being. Anyway, I'm live here in the studio on Facebook video. If you're a fan of the station of WWGH, well, you can go ahead and see the video that I've shared. Or, of course, if you're a friend of mine on my own Facebook page, well, that's even better, because you can go ahead and see me broadcast the show live. And you know what? What I really encourage you to do is go ahead and just call me. Because if you have a question about your computer at your home or your office or your car, or, of course, your smartphone is a computer, so the computer in your pocket, I'd love to hear from you. And not only that, you don't have to slide your credit card through your phone, because I provide free technical support during my show. So, hey, feel free to give me a ring. You can send me an email on our private email server, adam@wwgh1071.com. Boy, I said that pretty well. Or, of course, give me a call. Here's the phone. See, we have a real landline phone here, 740-383-9944. In addition to Stephen, we have Mauricio and we have Jason watching me on video. Thank you, gentlemen, for watching. Feel free to call. If you don't have a question about your computer, because maybe your computer is running well, that would be wonderful. Feel free to talk topics. What do you think about all the tweeting taking place by our president, the Donald? What do you think about how sports is influenced and interacts with Twitter and Facebook? And what do you think about maybe Mac versus Windows versus Linux? What do you think about private email servers? What do you think about privacy of information? Adware, ransomware, malware, all that stuff we can talk about. Feel free to give me a call. Hello also Mauricio for greeting me on the on my Facebook Live video, and thank you so much for watching. Greatly appreciated. Here at WWGH, that's what I wanted to say. We have many, many good shows. This is not the only great locally produced and live aired show on this station. Following me, it is our local radio legend, Mr. Charles Evers. Well, we just call him Charlie. And he's been in radio, I think, a couple hundred years, or I think it's actually closer to 60 years. And he is a legendary broadcaster. In addition to being a fine radio man, he is a, what is he? He's a walking encyclopedia of the Mid-Ohio area, of the area surrounding and including Marion and all the fine towns and townships in the vicinity. He knows a lot about weather. He's a ham radio operator. He's a historian. All-around great guy, never at a loss for words. And during his show, which will air today and every Thursday between 10 a.m. and noon, he gives away prizes, food, Columbus Zoo tickets, Cosi tickets, and goodness sakes, what else? You want to listen to find out what he is giving away today. Again, that's the Charlie Evers Show, sponsored by our friends over at Fahey Bank, coming up right after me. And then at noon, between approximately 12:10, right after the noon features, and 2, we have Now with Scott Spears, which, of course, is not on now. It's on then. And Scott is someone who has a penchant for celebrity guests. You may ask, well, who are the celebrities that Scott talks to? Legendary Dick Gregory, Marla Gibbs from the Jeffersons and 227. She's on regularly. Eleanor Clift, very learned and erudite columnist. Ohio native Hugh Downs, still going strong at 95. Former host of 2020 and a bunch of other shows. He's out all the time talking about politics and current events and other things. And Robert Guillaume, star of Benson, he'll also in Soap. He was on last year. You know what? You know who else was on with Scott Spears? Bob Barker. Yes, believe it or not, Bob Barker came on down to our studio via the magic of Ma Bell of the telephone and spoke with Scott a couple times last month. So Scott Spears, who's on between about 10 after noon and 2 today and every Thursday, has a penchant for celebrity guests and local dignitaries, be it the mayor, be it a city council person, be it a congressperson. Great guests. And, of course, Scott's not a bad... not a bad commentator in his own right. He's on again, coming up in about 2 hours and 50 minutes right here on The Talking Place. So bottom line, after this show, don't turn your radio off. We have great programming all day on The Talking Place, WWGH. Again, broadcasting live in the Marion area at 107.1 FM. And, of course, via the magic and power of the Internet at our website, WWGH1071.com. Current time, approximately 22 minutes after 9 in the a.m. on The Talking Place, WWGH, with me, Adam Lepp, the computer guy, talking tech topics, inviting your telephone calls at 740-383-9944. So what are our friends over at Facebook up to? They always have some shenanigans, usually good. They usually make a lot of money, and all the more power to them. Anyway, Facebook has launched new features for advertising job openings on their vast, large, omnipresent social network. Although many companies already have been using Facebook to find employees, this new functionality formalizes its job search capabilities. U.S. and Canadian businesses can use Facebook's new jobs bookmark to list open positions and allow users to apply directly from the site. Page administrators can track applicants and communicate directly with them using Messenger. They can boost job postings to reach a larger audience. Now, jobs will appear in users' news feeds and also will be listed on individual businesses' pages. Users can click on the Apply Now button to trigger the pre-population of their personal information, but they'll be able to review and edit that information before submitting their application. I want to welcome Stuart from the United Kingdom for watching. Stuart, good afternoon, because I think it's about 20 minutes after 2 over there. Stuart's also a budding radio person. Hopefully I'm going to help him set up a music-oriented radio station over the next few weeks, and he's got some really exciting ideas, a very sharp young gentleman. Welcome, Stuart. Thank you for watching. Much appreciated. Feel free to comment on my Facebook feed, and I will share your comment with my listeners. We're talking about Facebook and how they're allowing people to list jobs on their website. Now, we talk about Facebook and all the money that Mark Zuckerberg and all of his friends make. And so at this point, we question how we're going to know if Facebook's going to make money on these job listings, because that's always the bottom line. For example, will there be specific job-related charges for listing jobs? Will there be remuneration if a company fills a particular job through a Facebook ad? The new functionality is certain to place Facebook into direct competition with LinkedIn. LinkedIn, as I've talked about, is often used to find employees or find an employer. Microsoft last year acquired LinkedIn for over $26 million. And for our friends in the UK, Stuart and my upcoming guest, Nick from Brecon in Wales, that is approximately 17 or 18 million pounds, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, LinkedIn is the leading social media site for networking and job searching in the United States by many people's accounts. Now, unlike Facebook, LinkedIn charges monthly subscription fees for job search services, depending on the level of functionality that the user desires in terms of networking, contacting recruiters, and accessing messaging functions. Facebook will also be in indirect competition with websites such as Indeed, Monster, Craigslist, and others that target job seekers. Mike Jude, expert in the field, a program manager at Straightcast, Frost & Sullivan. He said, social media is the new frontier for marketing and sales. By tapping their employees' social media experiences, companies can leverage their professional contacts to reach a wider audience. Stuart from the United Kingdom would like me to make a little plug for his budding radio station, which I'll be happy to do. It's called Razzle Dazzle Radio. He plays all kinds of fun contemporary music. He talks to his co-hosts and has a lot of fun on the air. And you know, that's what radio is. It's designed to be fun. If it's not fun, well, I'm not sure what the purpose would be. If you search for Razzle Dazzle or Razzle Dazzle Radio, you will find Stuart's page for his budding station, Razzle Dazzle Radio. Please like it, and please watch him perform his show with his guest hosts. You might even find me on that from time to time. And again, feel free to message him on Facebook. He'll be happy to discuss the station that he has, which is pretty cool, if I should say so myself. We really appreciate it when younger folks get involved in radio, as it's one field, one medium that attracts people from all walks of life, all ages, and all parts of the great world that we live in. It's a cool thing. Can't say that enough. Anyway, a major test for Facebook and their new job search capabilities is whether users will feel comfortable combining their social media activity with professional job searching. And that comes from Zach Fuller, paid content analyst at Media Research. Security considerations likely will give some users pause when it comes to allowing potential employers to access their private information. So the big P word, privacy, coming into play. Hey, let me know what you think about this. Feel free to give me a phone call right here in the studio to discuss Facebook and its new job search capabilities. Would you use Facebook to find a job or find an employer? What do you think about the privacy? Because as you probably know, data privacy and Facebook don't always see eye to eye. Again, Zach Fuller, paid content analyst at Media Research, said whether consumers are comfortable merging the work and social aspects of their lives will prove to be the critical factor, particularly given the potential privacy issues. However, throughout every step in job posting, searching, and application, people can control how much or how little of their information is shared with potential employers and their friends. And that comes from Facebook spokesperson Emily Federley. That's a nice name, Emily Federley. Kind of hard to say in the morning, but, you know, I had some coffee and made it a lot easier. Would like to also welcome a friend of mine, Freddie. He's from Cleveland, Ohio. He is watching the video. Thank you very much, Freddie, for lending an eye and an ear. Very much appreciated. The job features of Facebook and their live job search capabilities are a bid to grow Facebook's base of business customers and provide additional capabilities for them to interact with customers. Back in the fall of 2016, Facebook enhanced its call to action functions to give customers more ways to communicate with and make purchases from their favorite businesses. So Facebook, of course, doing many things, not just allowing social networking, not just a place to post a picture of your cat or your grandkids or what have you, or if you're a video of your radio show like I'm doing, but a place to find employers and employees. I'd very much like to know what you think about that, because we value your opinions, your comments, your insight, and you know what? Even your complaints. Even a complaint is cool with my show. I don't mind. Telephone number here at the studio is 740-383-9944. Or, as I said, I welcome you to email us on our private email server, because, again, like Hillary, we have a private email server, which I think is a pretty good server, especially since I'm the administrator of it, adam@wwgh1071.com. Hey, I'd love to hear from you. So here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, we often have guest commentators, and sometimes the commentators are from nearby cities, Marion, Columbus, Mansfield, Cleveland, or even somewhere in California, but on occasion we go across the globe, across an ocean or two of the great world that we reside in, and we're going to land in Wales. Wales, part of the United Kingdom, and soon to be not part of the European Union. It's my longtime friend and business associate, partner in geekdom, and frequent commentator, Mr. Nick CJ. He has a few things to share with you from the vast field of brain cells inside his head. Nick, how are you today?
Very good. Very good indeed. Thank you.
Glad to hear that. How is the weather out there in Brecon in Wales, United Kingdom?
The weather is good today, but tomorrow we are going to be inundated with Hurricane Doris, or Storm Doris, which is going to be 100-mile-an-hour winds and rain. So I'm not looking forward to that much at all.
Don't you say 160 kilometer per hour? You don't say miles out there in
Miles is a man's
name in the UK. It's not a unit of measurement.
No. We are still miles here. And when we go real full Brexit, we're going to be back to pounds and ounces as well and do away with all that kilometer rubbish.
Well, Nick, you're certainly a plethora of knowledge of British culture. We've talked about political issues, and of course, last time you were on, we spoke about the Hill and the Donald. What's the current feeling about our beloved president, Mr. Trump, out there in the UK?
I love your phrase, our beloved president. Well, yes, we're at the moment. It seems that most of the people here, he was extended a an invitation by Theresa May, our Prime Minister, to come over here and basically have tea with the Queen and an audience. But the British public don't want this, so we have quite a few people that are protesting that. We've had protests in the street, actually, that we don't want Donald Trump here. So I don't know how it's going to end up, but there are quite a few jokes and quite a few polls that are out there. People have presented things to the Houses of Parliament saying we do not want Donald Trump to visit this country.
So the Donald is not exactly a popular character or individual.
Well,
there in your
no,
of
the
woods.
Donald has upset a lot of people, mainly in Scotland. He came here to build the giant golf course, and he upset most of Scotland. The area where he is, if people wouldn't accept his compulsory purchase, then he just had huge soil mounds put in front of them, or would chop through their water supplies or their electricity supplies. And he was doing most things to be awkward. And quite a few of the contractors never got paid. So it's it seems to be a standard trick of his to order everything, tell everybody he's a multimillionaire, and then when push comes to shove and the check has to be written, he changes the rules slightly.
Nick, if someone in the UK is very rich, do you say like a poundaire or a quidaire, or is it still millionaire or billionaire? How does that work?
No, it's still a millionaire or a billionaire, not a quidaire, no.
You see, as a chemistry major and mathematical person, and of course, computer programmer like yourself, those kind of things are what I consider to be pressing questions. So, you know, I figured you're an expert. You're just a couple years older than I am. So if anybody would know, you would. And I don't have the Queen's number, so I thought maybe you could assist me.
It's the quid in your pocket, unless you've got 20, and then it's a pony.
A pony. Well,
there's a new one for you. That's Cockney for
you. Okay, that sounds like my salary here at the station. Nick, you had some anecdotes, one about a feline and some other things you wanted to share with my listeners. And I'll go ahead and I'm going to hand the microphone over to you. I can't really throw it across the ocean. I'm not strong enough. But in a virtual sense, I'm going to throw the microphone over the ocean into Wales and your home, which I hear you share with a few sheep here and there. And you're going to tell us a few stories that my listeners will definitely find intriguing and, of course, educational. So go right ahead.
A lot of sheep, a lot of cows live near us. We live right in the middle of a farm, brother-in-law's farm. But I had my daughter come and stay with us for 6 months after a split with her boyfriend. And she brought her cat with her. And the cat got used to living here, and then she moved off to an inner city, basically, and the cat got attacked and got badly damaged on its back leg and had to go and have its rear leg amputated. And that was 10 days ago, and she's already caught two mice. We saw her chasing rabbits around a field today, and she's back to being a country cat. I can empathize because I had a replacement knee about 7 weeks ago, and so I know what recuperating from a big op is like. But the things that they can do nowadays, I mean, my knee, I actually forget I've got, and it's 7 weeks on, and I've got titanium in there. She's had her leg removed, but you just wouldn't know that she was any different to any other cat. She can jump 4 foot, and it's just astonishing what they can do with surgery nowadays. On the internet front here, we're very remote, so we don't get any chance of having real life broadband. On a good day, I can get 5 megabytes a second. On a bad day, I'm down to about 1. And we've recently had somebody who has bucked the whole of the trend. I don't know who you use as providers for broadband and things in the States, but we're mainly ruled by a company called British Telecom, who have quite a big grip on everybody and license everything out. This local company has decided to buck their trend and has bought a direct pipeline into themselves and now is microwaving super fast broadband around our valley. So we're now getting, at the moment I'm getting 15 megabytes a second, the same speed upload and download. By the end of next week I'll be on 100 megabytes a second, which is an enormous change. I mean, we're talking a 20 times change on my speed. And for the same price, and all fired through the air. They can apparently shoot the microwave signals up to 25 miles. I'm shooting about 3 miles across a valley, and there's no signal loss. It is just amazing technology. And it's something that has been kept hidden, basically, from the public here in Britain, because this whole system will undermine the monopoly that the big players have on all of the smaller people. So I can see that eventually microwave will be the way forward. Do you have that in the States, Adam?
We have microwave ovens, but microwave internet, I would say not to that extent, because we're so established with the cable internet and the DSLs being phased out, but the fiber optics, which is making a big splash in Ohio with AT&T and Cincinnati Bell. I know the microwave is available in some areas, but not quite as broad-ranging. And someone like myself, I figure if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So I'm a little hesitant to switch to something else, knowing that even though it might be faster, more reliable, what I have now gets the job done. But I'm always open to new ideas.
Yeah. You're in a metropolis, though. I was thinking of somebody that's got a lodge on the side of a mountain there somewhere. Yeah,
The one kind of internet that's used in rural areas in Ohio that isn't reliable is that satellite internet, the Wild Blue, one of the providers. And as you know, Nick, if the wind blows in the wrong direction, or a dog does his duty on it or something, the satellite may stop working. And with the cable, sometimes people don't call before they dig and the wire gets cut, but other than that, it's pretty reliable. And fiber optic also is very good, but needs to be upgraded to support that service in some areas. So it just does kind of depend, but I know we had talked maybe a year or two ago when I first started doing the show that you had constant issues with the quality and speed of your internet service, and now it's almost like you've done a 180. Now you have better service than I do, even being in a rural area. And the problems of previous were eradicated, which is wonderful. I'll have to give you some more programming to do and be sure that you handle all the big graphic files because you can upload them so quickly.
Yeah, the beauty with the microwave is that the dish is about the size of a dinner plate and that the upload is as fast as the download. Whereas with satellite, for instance, you might get a fast download, but they will charge you for the traffic, and then they also have very slow uploads. So that's the beauty that we've got now, is that my upload will be as fast as my download. I can have my own IP address and basically put a server on the end of this microwave.
Could I possibly take my microwave oven and turn it into an internet bandwidth provider? Is that something? I know you're an electrical engineer, as I recall, Nick. Is that something that I could finagle? Could I send you my microwave oven and you could turn it into internet service, or is that a little too far-fetched?
I think it's a lot far-fetched, but the odd thing is the microwave sort of dish and everything else, I mean, it's run over, I don't know if the listeners will be familiar with this, but power over Ethernet. So there is no power to the dish other than what goes over an Ethernet cable. So we have literally one network cable that goes up the side of the building into the dish, and that comes back to a dedicated little mini wireless router. And the whole thing is run off the tiniest little power supply like you'd charge your camera or your phone with. It doesn't use any great, I think it's something like a 2-amp charger. So it is a tiny amount of electricity. It's not like a microwave that's that's using a lot of juice to power it. It's just very directional.
So it's a green choice also, and that's obviously not just important from an environmental standpoint, but the fact that electricity tends to increase in price. Here in Ohio, it's depends where you are, but it's typically in the 12 to 15 cent a kilowatt hour. Of course, I apologize for the non-British units of measurement, but it's increasing, and so if we can save power, that's always a good thing. Plus, if the power does go out, you need a generator. You would need less juice to power that, and that certainly makes it easier also. So from many, many standpoints, it's a much better choice.
These units will run from a solar panel. So we've got one guy who lives in a yurt. I don't know if you're familiar with a yurt. It's a Mongolian sort of tent, and he's a hippie guy.
I'm very familiar with Mongolian barbecue and that kind of food, which I find to be very enjoyable. But the that Mongolian housing, I'm not quite as familiar with, and I do apologize. Again, I was a chemistry major, so I didn't do too well in history and world culture like that.
Well, this guy lives in one on the top of a hill, gets his water from a stream, and has full super-fast broadband via a solar cell and a microwave dish fastened to a gatepost, which astonished me.
So we can almost get off the power grid by using solar power, and that's definitely cool with a capital K. I like that idea of it very much. Nick, you also mentioned that your internet provider was doing some stuff, out of lack of a better term, with IP addresses and IPv4 versus V6. Why don't you tell my listeners about those shenanigans?
Well, I've just shot that details over to you, actually, so I can get you to decide what to do. But, I mean, IPv4 is disappearing, and it's all going to be IPv6 in about 2 years, I think. So everything will change then. And I think most of that is related to running out of numbers on the original IP address batch. I'm not sure how much of that is true.
Right. The current IPs run, as just let my listeners know, 255.255.255.255. Those numbers can go from 255 down to zero. And just mathematically, because the internet has grown so much and we have so many servers, private email servers like the station or like Hillary Clinton or other private email server users and other types of servers, we run out at some time. Same thing with area codes. We've run out of area codes. We have to add one to a city, and that's happened where in Ohio we have now triple as many area codes as we had 20 years ago. So IPs are kind of similar, because in some ways an IP address is like a phone number anyway. And so the IPv6 specification that allows many, many more IP addresses to satisfy the needs of more servers and more users than we have now with the IPv4 system. So you mentioned your provider is doing something then with the IPs on their end.
Yeah. They'll all be changing over eventually to the IPv6. But the funniest one with our supplier, the guy who's providing our microwave dish, is that, of course, at some point in time, he has to put the microwave signals back into the trunk, back into the road somewhere. And he's been having about five or six leased lines in order to channel the traffic while he was waiting for having spent £17,000 on a new direct line. So that would be about, I don't know, $22,000. But that line has to be put in by BT Internet, the British telecommunication people, who have the monopoly on it. They had to put, the only thing they have to do is to cross do you call it a roundabout in America, the island in a road that you go round?
We actually have been having a great increase in the number of roundabouts here in Central and Mid-Ohio. And some cities, I believe, are almost obsessed with them. They were common more on the East Coast, but a few years ago, the city fathers decided to increase them, maybe take away some traffic lights, and feeling that roundabouts might be a better way to get around, especially a busy intersection. And I have mixed opinions. I think they've gotten a little too slap happy. Plus, they're expensive and they involve construction. But I try to be open-minded and think that they will help traffic patterns. But honestly, Nick, the verdict on my end is still a little bit of a gray area. So if you have any opinions about how that works, you know, to me, I'd be confused enough by driving on the left side of the road. But from your end, what you think about the roundabouts and how it affects your traffic flow, feel free to let me know, because I'm always interested in perspective from another area.
Well, the big problem with a roundabout is that the area that's covered is a lot larger than that of a normal intersection. So if you want to move a cable from one side to the other, it has to go all the way around the radius or right the way across it, or all around the circumference or right across the radius or the diameter in order to get to the other side. And British Telecom have this monopoly on who puts the cable in the road. And so they came along and, in essence, had to put it from north to south. The cable had to go in at the north and come out at the south and then be connected up. And they charged this guy £17,000 to do this. And they turned up with their diggers and they dug up the road and they took it from north to west. Fitted a manhole cover in the road or an IC chamber in the road, did it all, and went off, and then emailed the guy and told him, all of your cables are connected. And so he said, but, you know, I've still got a red light here, I should have a green light. And so they said, well, we'll have to send the surveyor out. And so then the surveyor has to come from head office, came out with a plan, and said, I don't know how they managed to do it. He actually described his own men as Muppets. Where they'd managed to put the cable completely in the wrong direction. And so it's now another 2 weeks till we get our full speed broadband.
So I guess, interestingly, that's another issue with roundabouts, Nick, which I haven't even pondered. Again, I'm probably less of a fan of them, but I try to be open-minded, to try to support what my city decides to do, is that it will interfere if there is a broadband upgrade. That's kind of hard to say. So that's some food for thought, and hopefully they're taking that into account. Interesting point, though, because it really had not occurred to me, beyond the actual getting used to the roundabout, making sure the other driver follows the proper right-of-way rules, and we have this other wrinkle regarding how it may affect broadband upgrades and cabling and those kind of things.
Yeah, and that cabling's for everything. You know, you do away with the cabling for the traffic lights, etc., which you don't, of course, need because it's not an intersection. But then that means that they've not put the ducting in, which they would put in for the traffic lights. So there's no ducting in there, ready for broadband electricity, maybe gassed across the road. So it takes 10 times more work in order to move anything anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, interesting point. We also often have ramifications beyond what you think is the obvious, and that certainly would be one of them. Nick, I know you've watched me on my Facebook video do the show a few times, and what do you think about? I mean, many stations in the U.S. are doing that. I'm not sure if it's being done in your area, but what do you think about radio stations just broadcasting their shows so you can see the DJ do his or her stuff right there on Facebook video? What do you think of that idea? Will it help keep broadcasting alive and well and help with listenership, or what's your take on it?
There's a fine line, I think. Part of the beauty of radio is that you never watch it. So you might know who a personality is, but there's a lot more about that interaction with their voice and the affection you have for that voice and how you interact with it. And as soon as you start looking at that person, and if you're looking at them a lot, there's a fine line between whether that is a radio show or whether that's a television show.
And this is a radio show. Thank you very much, Nick, for your outstanding insight. Nick spoke with me a little bit more. We're going to talk to him again probably next Thursday, as well as my show on the air coming up this coming Tuesday. Nick always has some great opinions. And that's the mystique about radio. You can watch me on Facebook Live video and see what I look like. Watch me do the show. But the mystique, not knowing what a person looks like, if he or she sounds like what he or she looks like, that's kind of part of the fun. So internet radio is a new phenomenon in my lifetime. You know, when I was in my 20s, we only had over-the-air radio. You turned on the tuning knob and the volume, pick the station that you like, and you could listen to get music, to talk, to sports, or a combination of the above. I worked at my college station and played some great classic rock songs and talked about the music, told a few jokes like I do now, did the weather, the news, etc. Fun stuff. And now we have many other options. We have internet radio where you can listen online like you can to this station anywhere in the world. And I thank my internet friends around the world, in Ohio, California, and even in the United Kingdom for watching and for listening to me. And of course, you can listen to Sirius satellite radio in your car or your office. And they've got all kinds of stations. They have talk shows, sports, and what have you. I mentioned my virtual friend, Mr. Stewart M. from the United Kingdom. Yes, yeah, same place that Nick is from. We're very popular overseas in the UK. Not only did he watch my video, but I'm going to talk to him on the phone because Stuart has a great perspective about radio and about the internet. And he's a little younger than I am, and I thought a younger person's perspective would be useful. Stuart, how are you? How are you today? Hello, Stuart. Stuart, please turn down your radio for me. Stuart, how are you doing today?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yep, loud and clear. Turn down your virtual listening device for me, Stuart, because there is a bit of a delay between the signal has to reach here in Marion, Ohio, over to England, and that course does take a few seconds or two. So if you can do me a favor, just turn down your virtual listening device. I actually have technology here where you can hear me on the phone. We're pretty high tech here at the station. So we talked to Nick earlier, who's in Wales in Brecon. Where exactly are you? Are you in England, Mr. Stewart?
I am from the UK. I am from a little town called Grimsby, Wahoo.
Okay, and what's the weather like there today?
Turn your mic up. I can't hear a thing that we say.
Okay. What's the weather like over there today?
It has been raining parts of it. It's drying up at the minute, so bring it on.
Okay, so I guess that's not too bad. It's better than snow. You want to talk a little bit about internet radio from your perspective. Again, you're 25, about half my age. What do you think about internet radio versus over-the-air radio? What do you think maybe the future is for broadcasting, people like yourself who are broadcasting radio shows over the internet? What's your perspective on that?
It's very fun. I think from the listener's point of view, they can go, like, listen to you whenever they want. With normal radio, they have to twiddle the radio to find what channel they want, but now you can just go on DAB radio or internet radio and type in what you want, at least.
So you think that the ability to just go ahead and search for the kind of station you want to hear, be it music or talk or sports or what have you, has made it a lot easier versus just turning the old tuning knob. We talked earlier about the mystique of radio, where you don't always know what a DJ or host looks like, and people often will tell me, well, you don't look like you sound. Often I'm told I look younger than I sound, which I guess is better than the other way around, as I like to present a mature kind of perspective, since, again, I've been in radio off and on for, goodness sakes, about 30 years. Do you think that's a good thing about radio, Stuart, that you don't always know what somebody looks like versus watching a talk show where you see the face? I mean, they've got the makeup on. Everybody always looks so well-dressed and presented. Does that mystique of radio where you don't know what the person looks like and you kind of wonder, what are they doing behind the microphone? Is that something which adds to the cool factor of being on the air?
Yeah, it does. I was going to say something else, but that's more cleaner than what I was going to say, but... Yeah, basically, yeah, that what people like. They like to guess who's actually on there, don't they, really?
It's almost like Christmas, where you don't know what your presents will be, and once you open them, it's like the surprise is over, but you still enjoy whatever it is that you received. So I guess that's part of the
idea.
I guess that's part of the idea. Again, it's a mystery of radio. Do you use TuneIn, or do you like to listen to stations through the website, or what's kind of your favorite way to listen to online radio stations there in England?
I just listen to them. It's a radio, isn't it? So you're not really supposed to see them, are you?
You know, I talked to some people about your age, Stuart. They tell me they don't even own a radio, that people don't even buy radios anymore, that they just listen to stations online. Do you think that's true? Do you also listen to stations over the air, or do you pretty much just relegate yourself to online radio?
I'm hoping to actually expand a lot more, like, the plan is we actually get a proper radio, like, online, so we don't have to faff about, like, doing it over Facebook Live. That's the main concern, what I want to do, really, is that, but we need to know, like, what we're doing and what the listeners want, really, because the listeners are most important.
Without a doubt, no matter how you broadcast, it's the listener that counts. We're going to wrap up the show right now. Stuart, thank you so much for watching my video and for listening. Again, his station is called Razzle Dazzle Radio. Please search for it on Facebook. Have a great rest of your day, Stuart. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you again to all my listeners for listening to the Adam the Computer Guy radio show. Charlie is up next with Jim the Naturalist and his guest, George the Owl. Don't want to miss it. This will be a very, very good show. AdamTheComputerGuy.com.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP.